Well, I hope you all have been paying attention this morning because the Lord has blessed us with so many things. And he just pours out his life generously, abundantly. You know what he said in the garden to Adam and Eve? Eat all you want. It's all here. It's all for you. And he is doing that with us. He does that with us. He has given us everything to fill us and satisfy us. Even things that are difficult. And what I want to share today is partly because we are in this tribulation, in this time of difficulty, this place of difficulty, place that's fallen earth struggles against the kingdom of heaven and the ruler, the prince, and the power of the air. Fights against the testimony of Jesus. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is the testimony of Jesus. And I don't know if you all are aware, there was a family conference at Farmville that the brothers and sisters at Richmond facilitated and brought together. The topic was, has been, and is the testimony of Jesus. And our brother Dana shared three messages, and Lucio Aguiero and David Pang shared three messages each, and I have listened to Dana's. And I don't know if you all have listened, but I know Jay has. You can... I have not tried to copy any of or re-preach what it is they've said. Yeah, the Lord was speaking this to me sometime before I realized, I found out what the message was supposed to be there. And it was very well done. What I desire is to make it a little, to focus a little bit more personally, maybe, a better way to, is the way to say it, on what the testimony of Jesus and how it affects us, how we participate in it. One thing, just the term testimony that's used here, the word in the Greek and in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, what it means is it's the testimony like evidence that's being given, as it would be in a trial. In other words, the testimony of Jesus is evidence of Jesus. And if you think about that, and I hope to clarify a little bit more, but if you think about it, the testimony, the evidence of Jesus is the basis of our faith. It is what we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. The testimony of Jesus is his life that we see, that we are able to gather around. And so I'd like to follow this a little bit in the Word, beginning in Revelation. Revelation was one of the places the brothers used as they were speaking. The book of Revelation, I don't know what your Bible, how your Bible titles it, whether it calls it the Revelation of John, it's or just Revelation, but it's truly, and the first verse speaks it, it's the revelation of Jesus. And I want to read the first few verses here. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place, things that must shortly take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, this is a very full section of scripture. There's a lot here, and much has been studied and preached on and written on about such things as bondservants and who are they, and what is Revelation, and what does he mean when he says must shortly take place? I don't have insight to add to give you on any of that. My desire is to focus on the word of God and the testimony of Jesus that John saw. And what God had given to John through the angel was evidence of Jesus. And again, if you continue on in verse 9, let me pause for a moment there. The first 8 verses, and I guess really the 9th as well, but basically are saying what happened. You know, what's taken place? What's the background of this? John is telling us, telling the 7 churches, telling all who will read this, he is explaining to them what he has been given, what he is talking about, what this book is for. And so he makes a number of declarations, one of which I mentioned earlier in verse 6, declares us to be a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. There is great depth and great spiritual wisdom and understanding expressed here. He goes on, and in verse 9, he begins to tell what he saw. And he says, I, John, your brother. In other words, the first verses are really his looking back on what's happened and explaining what he's about to say. Now he begins the narrative. And if you disagree with that, that's fine. It's not critical that you believe all that I have just said. But what I want you to hear and I want you to believe is what he says, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. There's that expression again, because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And I mentioned this, shared this a week or so ago, just that one verse or that part of that verse, because I think it's important that we understand that John may have been a troublemaker to the Romans, may have been a troublemaker to the Jews, may have been seen and sent to Patmos as punishment, as imprisonment, as it were. But he is there because of the evidence of Jesus that would come. All of this is evidence. This whole book is evidence of Jesus. And so it's important to realize, and I want us to realize, that the book and the testimony of Jesus is for us. It is for us, and we are living in it, and it is living in us. I'm not going to try to prove all that in the scripture, but the Holy Spirit will witness to you and to me and to all of us that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is the King, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And this book will share all that testimony of Jesus. And it's important to us to hold on to that and to realize that he has this under control. All this stuff that is distressing and disturbing to us, all these the concerns that we have with the way the governments are working and all that, he has it under control. He is in charge. He is telling us, he is calling to us to know that he knows, and he is taking care of all these things. He's going to bring it all about. And in the end of the book, he describes a new heaven and a new earth. All the old will pass away. It will be burned as with fire, as Peter tells us. To help us see the power, that's really what I wanted, the power of the testimony of Jesus, I want to, and this is part of the reason I wanted to take this time while Paul wasn't here, not because I didn't want Paul to hear it, but because this has to do with his, he's been speaking about John the Baptist. And so I want to use John the Baptist as an example, as a testimony of the testimony of Jesus. You all are familiar with this, and I will, I'd like to read in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 2. Again, this is something I think, spoken a little bit about before, but I want to remind us of it. Now, when John in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or shall we look for someone else?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John the things which you hear and see." That's evidence. What do you hear and see? That's testimony. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. John, again, I don't want to seem as if I'm not judging John. John sent word. He had a question. He had a concern. And this is important because, well, to see how the Lord dealt with this. But let me just take this example. What did Jesus do? John says, Are you the coming one, or shall we look for someone else? Now, I don't know for sure. I don't know that anyone knows. I don't see it in the scripture specifically answered. But what was he expecting? Was John expecting Jesus? What was he expecting him to do? Was he expecting him to set the world right? Was he expecting him to overcome the Romans? Was he expecting him to establish the throne of David, to drive Herod out? I think he was a half-breed, was the king over Judea and Israel at the time, for the Romans, as a puppet of the Romans. We don't know exactly what John expected, but apparently it wasn't what Jesus wasn't what he expected. It's the way I see it. And Jesus doesn't, Jesus is the Lord. He is in charge. He has all this. He's not surprised at this. He's not surprised when we struggle with belief. When we have problems, why are you doing this, Lord? You know, that's not words you should say before the king. But we are allowed to come just as John did and say, what are you doing? I'm not sure I understand. Is someone else, is there another coming who will do the things that the scripture promises that all things will be set right. And in the book of Revelation, we see the things that happened, that the king dealt with on the earth. Was John expecting that? I don't know. But here's the point. Here's what I want us to grasp hold of, just as something as an example to help us as we look at the thing at the world around us and the things that happen among us and the things that are happening to us. Jesus answered and said to them, he's speaking now to John's disciples, go and report to John the things which you hear and see. Testimony. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What did Jesus tell John? What did he tell these disciples? He said, look, see, I am the Messiah because of the things, I am doing the things the Messiah is to do. God the Father is acting through me. He has given me this charge, and I am healing the blind. I'm doing what the Messiah was to do. Healing the blind and the lame and the lepers. They're being cleansed. The deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. Nobody had raised the dead. There were things that Jesus did that no one else had ever done. And so he sent them away with those things, with evidence, with a testimony of Jesus. Jesus calling for faith in them, saying, all these things I can only do because of the Father and because I am He who is to come. Now, we don't get a word back from John or a reference that I'm aware of that he understood, but I think without doubt he understood, because he was walking in the Spirit. He had done, accomplished, had been raised up and had accomplished what the Lord desired for him to do. He made the way. And he was about to die a martyr's death. But Jesus didn't try to straighten him out. He just said, I am he. Believe. Don't stumble. Now, what does he say to us when we have things that cause us to struggle? What does he say to you, Jay, when he takes hope home?
Just like he healed the widow's broken heart, he healed my broken heart.
Amen. And he says, I am he.
He did it.
I am he.
I never asked.
Amen. Hope's with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, the testimony of Jesus has power to heal, power to build our faith, to believe that we are not in this world we're just not being overrun, and we're not looking at things that are out of whack. They are out of whack, but that's not the point. He is raising up his testimony. He is raising up his life that it might be seen, just as in the Lord's table. He's calling us unto remembrance of who he really, absolutely, testifiably is. And so he says, and I'll just read a few of these verses. That's not the only place that there's a testimony of Jesus. There is the testimony of Jesus throughout Revelation, the book of Revelation. And I just want to touch on a few of these things, just again, just so that we might see them and think about them and consider them. John says in verse 4 of Revelation 1, to the seven, he's writing to these seven churches who are in his charge in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Even so, amen. John is declaring who he is. Jesus is declaring through John. That's what it says in the first verse there. He, God, sent and communicated what he had given to Jesus, communicated it by his angel to John. This was what was communicated to John. He saw these things. He is giving it. I saw it. It is evidence. It is true. You can believe that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. He has released us from our sins. He has made us a kingdom of priests. That's not just a nice idea. That's not just a flowery thought. That is truth. That is, I won't say it's a cold truth. That's just the way we sort of describe it. It is a powerful truth. It is a hot truth. Then he says, Jesus says to John, I am, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. What is going on around us does not change that. God is the Alpha. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. One more thing. In the second part of this first chapter, John describes that he was there because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And he describes what happened. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write in a book what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. and in the middle of the lampstands, one like a son of man. Now I'm going to pause there for a moment. John hears the voice of Jesus. And it's not like the voice of Jesus that he's heard before. Of course, he talked to him. He walked with him. He embraced him. He saw him die. He saw him risen. He saw him ascend. He saw the Spirit come down from him to fill the church. And Jesus speaks to him, and he gives him a direction, a charge. So here he is. He sees one like a son of man, verse 13, clothed among the lamp in the middle of the lampstands, clothed. Let me pause there for a moment. Let me back up. In the midst of the lampstands, the Son of God, in the middle of the lampstands. Why is he there? Is he there to bring judgment and condemnation? He's there because he loves them. He loves them more than they understand. They certainly don't understand. We don't understand how much he loves us. He is trying to he wants to show us. He wants us to see. He wants us to rejoice, to be at peace, because he has it under control. Peace can only be when things are under control. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have life. He wants us to have life abundantly. And there he is in the middle of the churches. He's in the middle of us. He is in the middle of me and you. Because he loves us. And he's there because he can be. He has satisfied all the requirements that deity and humanity can be together. We are righteous. And because of that, he can be among us. We are made righteous by him. Okay, let me continue on. So, in the middle of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet were like burnished bronze when it is caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars. Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Do not be afraid." I'm going to pause there for a moment. John saw someone he knew, but didn't know he knew. He saw the Son of God. He saw his friend. He saw his Lord. But he'd never seen him like that. He'd been on the Mount of Transfiguration, and it was awesome. It changed his life. It changed Peter and James. He touched them. They saw who he was. God declared who he was. God clarified that they were not to build him a house. He was going to build them a house. That's not the exact scripture that's used there, but that's what they wanted to build tabernacles for him and for Moses and for Elijah. What a wonderful time. This is Jesus alone, as they have never seen him before. John had never seen him before. He was on fire, as it were. He glowed. He glowed. As it says in the Old Testament, as the Lord said, "No one can look upon my face and live." Well, John could, because John has been cleansed from all unrighteousness. Nothing, the heat, I don't know what happened to the heat. I'm just speculating here. I'm not trying to make a doctrine. But it was powerful. His presence. He is in charge. He is the King of Kings. Really. The King of Kings that nobody, he could put his thumb on any nation, on any leader, on the whole earth and squash it out of existence. But that's not why he's doing all this. He tells us all these things. And he wants us to know that there he is. He's not feet on the earth like trying to straighten out the problems with this church or that church, or he's not trying to defeat the Buddhists or the Hindus or any of that. He is showing those who love him what they need to know. That's what this is about. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." John knew he had reason to be afraid. But Jesus says, "No, I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades." I have the authority to do what God, I have the authority from God the Father to do all of his purpose and to cause all these things to come into order. And I can do it and I will do it. But you do not need to be afraid. You are in the presence of holiness that was never before open. Wasn't open to the Jews before he died and the veil was rent. The way has been made and the Holy Spirit has come down, and John knew the Holy Spirit and walked in the Holy Spirit. Write therefore the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, and the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. I have all of them in my hand. Nothing is going to get to them to destroy them that I don't allow to take place. Nothing is going to overwhelm them. Nothing is going to cause them to fall out of my care. John got this word, and he wrote these letters, and he went on to write down the things that the Lord spoke and the Lord did, and that how the Lord was going to bring about the end of time. End of time, the end of the earth, bring about a new heaven and a new earth. All that is going to take place, and it's written here in Revelation. It is the evidence of his presence, of his life, of his power that we live by. I hope I've helped you to see the glory of God. Lord, it is by your strength and by your power that you have given us your testimony. What you have done, what you are doing, all these things are in your hand. Lord, there is nothing that will come upon us that you do not have control over. There is nothing that we see or fret about that has any consequence if you are causing that to be. We thank you, Lord. We know that there will be things that happen, that the tribulation is here and it is working redemptively unto your purpose. We ask you, Lord, to redeem your people, to cause us to see, to open our eyes, to help us, Lord, to come to you. To come to you when we have a question. John had a serious question. Are you the one? I have believed. I saw the Spirit descending on you and God saying, this is my beloved Son. But you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Help me understand. Lord, we can come to you in all our frailty and ask, and you will deliver. You will help us. You will cause us to see and to know and to be at rest. Because you have control. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you and praise you. In your precious name, Lord, we do pray.